Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I do apologize. I am messed up, I guess, trying to do the things that I need to do here. But thank you so much for joining us for another live episode of Real Talk with Darian House. And tonight I have my wonderful guest, Apostle James, with us. How are you, Apostle James? Apostle James, are you there? Apostle James, are you there?
Hello?
Apostle James, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Wonderful. Finally, I can. We're having all kind of technical difficulties, so I know we got to go forth with what we have to do tonight.
Amen.
Blessings on you, and I am so glad that you are here to join us tonight to talk about such an awesome topic. Who do I reach out to when I'm a pastor and my marriage is falling apart? Apostle James, I know that you have experienced many things in life. And so what are some of the logistics that you can give us even prior to getting into talking about being a pastor, period? But what are some of the logistics that you need to have in order for marriage, period?
First of all, to have a successful marriage, you got to be successful and whole within yourself.
Right.
Not marrying because you need something from that person other than companionship and going forth in the work that God has for you to do, but making sure that you got yourself together.
Right. And when you say having yourself together, I know for myself, a lot of times, I oftentimes teach the young people that we do not ask someone else for something that we don't first have our own selves, or we can't ask someone else to do something for us that we have not done for ourselves. And I find a lot of times in marriage, period, we go into it without being properly prepared. When you think about being properly prepared for marriage, Apostle, what do you think of? What advice do you have for young people all across the world today when it comes to marriage and even being ready for marriage?
Once again, I'll say the same thing all over again, is making sure that you have yourself together and preparing yourself for marriage. You got to make sure that you're mentally stable. You got to make sure that you're financially stable. You got to make sure that, you know, the things that you want in life, that you're capable of doing them for you're getting them for yourself, or knowing how to unite and becoming one and doing the things that you need to do with your significant other. One of the worst mistakes or the saddest things that I hear people say in a marriage is when they talk about marriage as a 50-50. No, marriage is not 50-50.
No.
It's 100-100. You got to be the whole person.
Yes.
You got to be a whole person in order to connect with a whole person. In other words, you got to know within yourself that I got everything I need going into this relationship. I'm not going into this relationship for a need. I'm going into a relationship because the Lord said this is my helpmeet, and together we can obtain more together than we can apart, but not going in there looking for somebody to give you something you don't have.
Right, right. You know, and this is what I see a lot in the church, is that, you know, we get concerned or we get excited about the dress, the tuxedos, the big cake, the flowers, and all of that, but we forget to do that self-check to make sure that we are ready, to make sure that I, as a man, I'm in the right place, and I'm doing it like the Bible said, that I have an inheritance for my wife, that I'm not just marrying someone just to have a woman on my hand. So, Apostle, I think about my relationship coming into my marriage. I can talk about me. I'm not going to get in trouble for doing that. Coming into my marriage, and God put my wife and I on a very, very fast track. We met each other, and 2 months later, we were married, and then a month later, the ministry was starting, and we were pregnant with the baby. All at the same time, all of these things were happening at one time. And I can remember my wife being very, very standoffish when it came to ministry. And I couldn't at that time understand why that was. But I later learned that some men in her life had been preaching one thing but doing another. And she watched this. In her childhood growing up, she experienced having a father who was a pastor, but he was not living what he was preaching. Apostle James, how do we as people of God fix this so that we are raising whole children? Because I find that the preacher's children sometimes are the worst ones.
Yeah.
So how do we change this so that we are raising whole children, and we're not raising children who have been taught by their apostle father or by their apostle mother or their pastor mother or father how to live, you know, something different than what's being preached across the pulpit?
One of the things the scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, we know actually that scripture is not necessarily talking about age, but it's a good description of how we should raise our children. Then another thing we have to understand is that our children are their own person. We can train them, we can teach them the word of God, train them under the admonition of the Lord. But then we also have to understand that they're going to have to gain their own testimony. So they're going to go through something. But our job is to teach them how to stand firmly on the word of God and how to make the word of God an intricate part of their life so that when they get out there and they get in trouble and find themselves in situations that they shouldn't be in, they'll know how to reel themselves back in. Because one thing about imparting it to your children, whether they do right or wrong, they're going to always remember what you teach them.
Right, right, right. And this is something that the people of God need to hear. Whether you are doing right or wrong in front of your children, they are going to remember. Something is going to be impressed upon them, and we are responsible for that. We are responsible to raise, as the apostle said, you need to be one whole person plus one whole person to make a successful marriage. And if we are raising children that are not whole because of how we have lived in front of them, we are definitely going to be held accountable for this. And so, Apostle, being that you are an apostle, you are a mother, you're a wife, how does this thing work in your household? Because you're the woman of God, you're the pastor or the one that leads the sheep at church, but then you come home and you are a wife, you are a mother, a grandmother. How do you balance all of that and still be the successful apostle that you need to be?
Honestly, it's hard to separate the two. Being Because one of the things I always say, ministry is not what I do, it's who I am. But I've learned to bring balance in my life, especially, you know, when you're in ministry and you're single and then all of a sudden you get married and then you have to learn how to separate the two, knowing that that's the authority that I carry at the church. But then I have to learn how to be the wife when I get home. I have to learn how to still be saved, still be sanctified, but allow my husband to rise up and be the priest that God has called him to be, or the head of our household, and knowing my limits, knowing how far I can go, knowing what I can say and knowing what I can do. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's hard. It's difficult because you find yourself entangling the two. But when you understand the order of God, how God created man and woman, and who is supposed to be the head of the household, once you understand that and it become a part of who you are, then you learn how to fall in place.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
it's not something that necessarily is, you know, something that comes, you know, almost, for lack of better terms, naturally, but it's something that over time I had to learn how to do. Am I
exactly?
I have to.
We have to learn.
Okay.
You see, one of the things we have to be honest about is that even though we're apostles or pastors or prophets or teachers or evangelists, there's still a natural side to us. And sometimes that natural side arises up and try to take over.
Right.
You know, so and what happens is people put stipulations on us as leaders as if we're not human. And they put the qualifications for an apostle or a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist higher than just being saved. But we have to understand that the qualifications for being saved or walking in the fivefold ministry is the same. Be holy as I am holy.
So come on.
The only difference is our calling is higher, but our lifestyle has got to be the same.
Right. Right. This is true. This is so very true. And so marriage is something that is honorable, it's something that God honors, it's something that he loves, it's the union that he created. And so before we even get into talking about being the pastor and my marriage falling apart, let's talk about marriage, period, and how it is a task for two people to come together when you have lived as yourself and by yourself for years. And this is what people don't understand, and I'm doing it like this tonight because, and I'm grateful for what you said, that we put stipulations on pastors and apostles and leaders, not realizing that, first of all, they are people. And so I'm discussing it like this tonight so that people can get that understanding that just because I am the pastor or I am the apostle or I am the bishop, that does not mean that I will not have some issues in my marriage. That does not mean that we will not deal with some of the same things that any other normal person deals with in their marriage. And so, Apostle, how do you, as a woman of God, how do you deal with marital issues? Because I know that you counsel people. I know that you deal with people with marital issues, but then it's a whole different realm when it comes to your own household.
It is. You know, we're good at giving advice. We're good at giving advice to other people, but when the situation hits home, it's a different story. It's a different story. And I'm not saying that the principles are different, but a lot of times the advice we give sometimes is hard for us to take.
Ah, come on.
You understand what I'm saying? So being married is just like a job. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. Just because I love you and you love me don't mean that the marriage is hunky-dory. We have to work at that. And in every day we get to learn more and more about each other. And the more it's like being in love with Christ. The more you know about God, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you want to do for him. And that's what a marriage is. It's taking time to get to know the good, bad, and the ugly.
Right.
Understanding that we both have faults. Marriage is compromising. You have to learn how to compromise. You have to learn how to communicate. You know, it's easy to stay in a marriage and everybody's pointing the finger saying it's your fault, it's my fault. But if you would take care of what you're doing wrong and I take care of what I'm doing wrong and we meet somewhere in the middle, then we can balance this thing.
Right. Right. Wow. Wow. I pray that this is really helping somebody tonight, because this is really, really good sound counseling, if you will, for the married and for those that are not married that may be considering marriage or may want to be married one day. This is good sound information for you to take and keep with you, because marriage is compromised. It is, you can't have everything be your way. It's not, this isn't Burger King. So you can't have everything your way. You got to learn how to compromise and how to meet in the middle, and everything ain't going to be agreed upon. But something
Amen.
You just have to, okay, baby, that's how you, let's do it that way. And if it doesn't work, all right, then we'll do it my way. But this is what we have to do in marriage. And so getting to this thing where I'm the pastor, all right, and I'm pastoring these people, I'm counseling these people. I have been able to counsel people and their marriages stay together. Apostle, this is where it gets hard, you know, because when you as a leader can counsel others and watch their marriage come closer and watch them be successful, and then you have to come home to your marriage that's not working out, that can be very, very mind-boggling to one. So, Apostle, what happens when we are in that place where I'm the pastor, who do I go to? Now who do I talk to? Because the church members have someone that they can go to. But now who mm-hmm. do I go to? Because I can't go to the sheep and tell them about my marital problems. So who do I go to? How do I deal with that?
It's just like we as leaders, when God put us in position to cover others and we hold them accountable, every leader needs a leader that can hold
right.
them accountable. Every leader
right.
needs somebody that watches out for that they can submit themselves to and that'll watch out for their souls. So we all need
okay.
a covering, per se, that somebody that we can talk to, that we can tell. But even in that, you got to be careful. You got to make sure that you're dealing with somebody that's humble.
Mm.
You got to make sure that you're dealing with somebody that is not judgmental, but understand the
mm-hmm.
natural and the spiritual side of things. And you got to make sure
mm-hmm.
it's somebody that you can trust, that not only
mm-hmm.
will allow you to reveal yourself to them, but even in them witnessing to you, they'll reveal themselves to you to let you know that I go through some things too, and this is how I deal with this. But the number one thing is to know what the Word of God says about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
See, we can get advice from a whole lot of people, but what is God saying?
Right.
That's the best counsel. That's wise counsel.
Right. This is right.
You know,
this
but we
right.
have a lot of leaders that's out there that's not governed by anybody.
Oh, talk about that.
That's not covered by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So who's holding you accountable?
Right. Right. And this is something that is very, very dangerous, because when you have a leader who is not held accountable, Apostle, talk to us tonight, and really, I really want you to tell us, and this is no holds barred, how does it affect us when we sit up under the leadership of a man of God, a woman of God, and their marriage and their business is not in order? How does that affect us as sheep?
It affects us, first of all, because we don't have anything to follow, and second of all, we're not getting wise counsel. Wise counsel, because a lot of times when leaders are going through things, they speak out of bitterness. They speak out of anger. They speak out of what they're going through and their experiences. So wise counsel
mm-hmm.
is not even a part of who they are at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They speak out of what they're going through. I say this to any leader or any leader that's out there that's giving counsel. Regardless of what you're going through or what you've gone through in marriage, when you're giving counsel, it should be according to what thus says the Lord and not according to what you've been through. Because actually, if I take my experiences and like mm-hmm. you said, no holds barred. If I take my experiences and what I've been through in marriage, and allow that to be a part of who I am when I speak to somebody about marriage, I'll tell them to run. From my own experiences. But every marriage is not the same. When I first got in ministry, when I first started, first got married, I didn't have anybody to give me directions. I didn't have anybody to speak into my life. They didn't believe in, they didn't do counseling and all of that stuff. And I'll tell anybody, before you get married, go to counseling. If they don't want to go to counseling, you don't need them. If they don't want to go to counseling, because even in counseling, when I counsel people, I will not marry anybody without counseling them first. And when they go to counseling, I tell them, we're going to lay it on the table. What do you like about her? What do you like about him? What you don't like about her? What you don't like about him? Now, what are you going to do about this? How are you going to deal with this? What about your finances? All this stuff you need to know. You don't need to jump into a marriage and then find out all this stuff is out of whack, and then you got a whole big problem from the beginning of your marriage.
Right.
And wow. So just me, myself, being married, I have to make sure that I make sure that I don't take what I've been through and use it in the negative. I'll tell you about my experience. But I also tell you how God say to deal with it.
Right. Amen. Amen. And this is something that, and I wanted to get at that, because what I'm finding, Apostle, is that a lot of apostles and bishops, we get married, but we do not do counseling prior to getting married. And so
Amen.
A lot of the advice and the different things that you are giving even right now, we have not gone down that road and discussed those things. And then when we get married, all of those things come up as a surprise, which causes for the marriage. It seems like the person lied to you or they whatever, but really they didn't, because it was just as much as your responsibility as it was the other person's responsibility to talk about these things and to communicate these things. So, Apostle, after we have met each other, fell in love with one another, skipped past counseling and got married, and then I come to you and I say, you know what, Apostle, I can't deal with this. I just can't. And I need you to either help me get it together, or we getting ready to go our own separate ways. How do you deal with me at that point? We're talking about the pastor who has not had any counseling, who just got married because I'm the man of God and I can handle this.
First of all, counseling starts right then. It starts right then. But the truth of the matter is, the counseling doesn't start with the other party, because first of all, I need to know what you're dealing with.
Okay.
You have to deal with the complainer first. Okay, first of all, why did you get married? How did you feel about that person when you first married them? You got to sort out all of that stuff. Let me say this. One of the worst mistakes that's made in the body of Christ is that a lot of Christians are being married because somebody else thought that was the best thing for them to do.
Come on.
Wasn't that they were ready? Wasn't that they were in love? But they love to sling this scripture around. Marriage is honorable in the eyesight of the Lord, and the bed is undefiled. So, and that is true. But basically what we're doing is telling people to legalize sex. The heart is not there. They're not attracted to each other. You barely even know the first name, talking about the last one.
Wow.
But we marry because we don't want to be caught in sin. But sin is being attached to somebody that God did not connect you to in the first place. That's the reason why we need to make sure that we're connected to our helpmeet. We make those mistakes a lot of times by getting married because somebody else thought it was a good idea. Or I dated this person and I messed up and I had sex with this individual and I got pregnant. And so somebody comes to us and said, well, you know what? You got that baby. You need to marry. No, you done made that mistake. You made that mistake. But you better make sure there's somebody you want to be breathing up in their face for the rest of your life. And you better make sure it's somebody that loves Christ in order to love you.
Amen.
They'll condemn you if you don't marry them, and then when you can't make it, they can condemn you. But they never told you the ingredient to make that marriage work.
Right. Wow. Wow. Wow.
And that's one of the worst things that's happening in the body of Christ. We'll get married because somebody else thinks it's better. It's better. It's better to marry than to burn.
That's what they say. Come on.
But the words say marriage is honorable, which means that honorable marriage is something that has been put together by God. And then you got to understand when it also come back and say, what God has joined together, let no man tear asunder. Then when folks get married, they won't throw that in your face. But every marriage ain't together by God. It wasn't joined together by God.
This is right.
Some of that stuff is just the heat of the moment stuff. But what is God saying about your situation? Now, I'm not saying that if you get married, God won't honor it. He will honor it. But you got to work harder because it's not something that God ordained.
Right. Wow. Wow. This is good tonight. I pray that somebody is getting this tonight because it's really, really good sound information. Good sound information. Apostle, this is what this show is about, is to get good sound information out to the people. That is my whole desire. And so when I am, like I said, I am the pastor of the church. My marriage is failing. I can't really go to anybody and talk to them about it, but I'm getting up every week. I am preaching over the people, and I'm describing a situation that I went through in my life. I'm getting up over the people. I'm preaching the word of the Lord, and the anointing in the house is not like it used to be. People are starting to scatter. The attendance is not like it used to be. And then the woman stops coming to church, and then immediately everybody knows that something is wrong. And Apostle, I know that the word tells us that he that scattered the sheep, woe unto him. How do you, as the apostle, how do you deal with this thing? Because being a leader or a pastor of a church and your marriage falling apart while pastoring can do some serious damage. So, Apostle, what do you do as an apostle to kind of put a cap on this situation or at least help the sheep to be stable while this is going on?
One of the things, first of all, I tell anybody, you don't tell them all your business, but then you got to come clean.
Right.
Always allow your sheep to know you're human. You have issues too.
Yes.
But all at the same time, you cannot come into the house of God with your countenance low, with a bad attitude.
Mm.
You know, it's like the word of God said, you got to lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily beset you. When you come in the house of God, I tell people all the time, pastoring is role-playing.
Right.
It's role playing. You could be the one went through the most dramatic incident in your life before you went to the house of God. But when you get to the house of God, you got to lay that aside because you have to remember that it's not about you. And sometimes
right.
I found out myself that my greatest deliverance comes through speaking into the life of somebody else.
Right.
Because while I'm praying to them, praying with them, and ministering to them, I'm getting delivered myself.
Right.
Because first of all, the word that you speak out of your mouth, it's first got to meet you. It's got to hit you. It's got to hit home first.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
So it's strictly role play. You got to pray when you don't feel like praying. You gotta preach when you don't feel like preaching. You got to sing when you don't feel like singing. You got to counsel when you don't feel like counseling. Sometimes you got to pray for folks you don't even feel like praying for. But you got to do
right.
it because that's who God has ordained you to do. That's the reason why the Lord talks about the grace of God. Grace is not only unmerited favor, but grace gives you the ability to carry out the mandate that God has placed upon your life.
That's right. That's right.
So if we can keep one thing in mind, that the gift that God has given us or the gift that we have on the inside of us, the gift is not for us. It's for other people. And if the gift is not being effective, then the people are not getting what they need.
Amen. Amen.
Got to get like David and got to get like Paul. Sometimes we just got to encourage ourselves.
That's right. That's right. And we have to be able to speak into our lives and keep going. I'll share my wife and I story as she is listening right now. Big shout out to Elder House. But in our
woman
marriage, we dealt with my wife was depressed. She was going through depression, and it is not what I wanted to deal with. And there was a part of me that wanted to pack my bags and run because it's not what I wanted. I didn't want to deal with that. I didn't want to be my wife's counselor. I counseled everybody at church. I was there for everybody at church. And I'm really bad, you know, at times for saying I'm everything to everybody and nobody is nothing to me. And so when I come home, you know, I wanted my wife to be able to do all of these things for me. And at that point, she was not in a place where she could do that. And God said to me, he chastised me, and he said, if you cannot pastor your wife, then you cannot pastor my people.
Come on now.
If you cannot
home.
First, that's right, if you cannot first be a pastor to your wife, and that means you got to lay down your feelings and you got to lay down your emotions and you got to be emotional support for her. You've got to be that man that she needs you to be right now. If it's a counselor or whatever it is, that's what you've got to be right now. But if you can't do these things at home, then you cannot pastor my church. And this is what I want leaders to hear tonight. If you cannot be a man of God at home, meaning that if you're at home beating your wife and cussing your wife out and beating her upside the head or whatever you're doing, if you're doing that at home, then you're not worthy to pastor God's people. Because you shouldn't
That's
do
right.
anything to your wife behind closed doors that you would not want the people to see. This is something, even when you don't have an apostle to call, this is called holding yourself accountable.
Yes, yes.
So, apostle, I had to hold myself accountable, and I had to hear the voice of the Lord instruct me on how to handle the situation. And mm-hmm. here we are almost 5 years later. My wife is delivered from depression. She's not walking in that place. She takes very minimal medicine. We know it's not the medicine that's keeping her. We know it's God.
Yes.
But God walked me through that so that I could be able to help somebody else. So, apostle, I feel that when we as leaders throw in the towel on our marriage, that it handicaps us from being able to help somebody else
with
their marriage.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. Let me say this, apostle. Let me say this. First of all, we have to realize that our home is our first ministry.
Come on.
Your marriage is your first ministry. That's your first
yes.
ministry. Because if you can't be effective at home, you won't be effective in the house of God. And there's an old saying that they say all the time, if you want to know how the pastor living, look at the spouse.
Yes.
And if the spouse is looking
truth.
Unhappy, you know things ain't right. So that
That's
means,
right.
and one of the breakdowns and one of the things that happens in pastoral marriages is that we get so caught up in helping everybody else that we forget we're human and we forget
right.
that there's something we've got to do to maintain the fire in our own home. We still have
right.
to date. We have to date
yeah.
our spouses. We still have
right.
to date. We have to have our date nights. You know what I'm saying? We have to have our talk
yeah.
nights. You can't allow marriage to consume, I mean, ministry to consume you while your marriage is dying.
Right.
Everybody happy but you.
This is right.
And then all you can do is come home and operate out of a false anointing.
Right.
You can come to church and operate out of a false anointing because you're mad and bitter.
Mm. Wow.
But we have to learn that, you know what, this is a person, this is a real person, and I'm a real person. And outside of my ministry, I still have a life. So sometimes it's okay to step away from the pulpit and let somebody else take over and take your spouse on a vacation or take your spouse on a trip or take your spouse out to dinner. That's what continues, that's what keeps the communication open, and that's what keeps the fire burning. We still got to keep the fire burning in our marriage.
That's right.
You got. We have to learn each other's love walk.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, in this, we have to learn as leaders how to press through our marital struggle, our marital issue or whatever it is that we're going through, we have to learn how to press through that and still be effective in ministry. One thing that you mentioned, Apostle, was that a lot of married people in ministry, they will preach or teach out of their frustration or out of their place of anger. Apostle, I need you to deal with that, because the pulpit is not the place for us to throw off or for us to, you know, teach and preach out of our frustration. So deal with that. How do we fix that? We've got to fix that.
We've got to fix it, and we've got to put our pride aside and stop saying, well, I'm the pastor, so I can't let nobody know I'm having problems. Sometimes you got to step back and say, you know what, I'm going to let somebody else preach today because I got to deal with me. I need some delivery. And one of the worst things that happen in the house of God is we have altar calls after altar calls after altar calls, and a lot of times the pulpits are full of leaders, but they're the ones that never, ever come down for prayer. Never come down for prayer. And so sometimes we got to just say, you know what? I'm not operating in the right spirit right now. I've done it. I'll never forget one time I had a situation at home and things weren't right and my mind wasn't right. And I went to church and a young lady said, you know, I need you to pray for me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get somebody else to pray for you. I ain't operating in the right spirit. Well, she couldn't understand that. Right. So she called my overseer and told my overseer, I asked her to pray for me, and she said that she wasn't in the right spirit. So he called me, and I said, would you rather that I lay hands on her in a bad spirit, or would you rather that I admit that I got an issue and I need to be delivered, I need to be reconciled back into this situation before I pass this off? People don't want to allow us to be human, but we are. And we go through things every day. Every day we're hit with different situations. But as we mature, we learn how to deal with it different. But sometimes we just got to say, you know what? I'm going to put somebody else right here. I need to sit down for a minute. I need to get myself together. I need to pray. I need somebody to pray for me. And that's why it's good that every leader have an apostolic team that governs them, that pray for them, that covers them. We have intercessory ministers, but we need a set of apostolic lead team leaders that's just set aside for the pastors.
Right. Right. You're right. You're exactly right, because we deal with all types of warfare, all types of craziness that happens, and it's not necessarily because you're doing something wrong in your marriage. It's not all the time that you're going through what you're going through because you're doing something wrong. My wife and I have gone through disagreements in marriage, and it was simply the enemy's attack, because he knew that if my wife and I were at odds, that I wouldn't preach.
Yes.
And so it was we started seeing the pattern. Every Wednesday, we would get into a disagreement, or every Friday, we'd get into a disagreement. And so we started calling it out. The devil is a lie. And, you know, or the other, the devil, we will not do it. You know, we started calling that thing out, and we started to see that this was an attack of the enemy. My wife started noticing, do you know you canceled church last Wednesday? And do you see you about to cancel church again this Wednesday? And that's something that we as leaders have to understand, is that we go through a lot of warfare. And if the enemy can't come through your body, if he can't come through your children, the next best thing he tries is your marriage.
Amen.
So we have to understand that this is something that's very important. Apostolic team that prays consistently for the pastors and the pastor's wife and, you know, family, that is something that's necessary. I don't per se have a team, but I thank God for some particular people that are a part of Alabaster Box, because they always pray for their leaders, and I can feel them praying, and I bless the Lord for that. All pastors don't have that. They don't have people that are genuinely concerned for them. And these are things, and I'm saying this tonight because I want the people that are listening to understand that, yes, I am the one that's the pastor. Yes, I am the one that's in the marriage, but you responsible to hold up the arms of your leader.
That's right.
You are responsible to hold your leader up in prayer. You are responsible to cover your leader. Let us as lay members of the church not get lazy and always want somebody praying for us. But when are you going to start praying for your leaders?
That's right. That's right.
Talk about that, Apostle.
It's necessary, because that's the reason why, let me say this, that's the reason why so many pastors are committing suicide and so many pastors are just walking out of the pulpit, because they are operating on burnout. They've given so much. They put out so much, but they never take time to take in. I believe every leader should find a place of worship that they trust and that they know where the word is going forth, and at least once a week go sit up under that word.
That's
because
right.
After you give out, you need to fill back up. We don't have it all. We can't carry it all. It's just like driving a car. You can only drive it so far until you got to pull over at the filling station and fill it back up.
Come on.
And so we need to be filled up. We need to find some church or some pastor or someone that's delivering a word that's speaking a words of truth that we can go sit in every now and then and get a fill up.
That's right.
We'll never be able to give wise counsel until we're downloaded into. We're giving, and even though we're studying the word of God, but sometimes we need to just hear. We need to just be partakers of the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to be part-giving, if we don't do that, but just find annually conferences that we can go to, leadership conferences that we can go to.
Yes.
Well, we'll be able to guide and lead correctly without being in burnout.
Because it's very easy to get there.
Yes, it is. And you got people pulling on your spirit all the time. Pray for me. Pray for this situation. Pray for that situation. But what we need to do is to teach the people of God how to be self-sufficient. No, I'm going to give you the word, and it's going to teach you how to pray.
Right.
It's going to teach you how to pray. Not only that, but every lead, every partaker ought to get to know not only the word of God, but get to know their leader's spirit.
Yeah, come on.
They need to get to know their leader's spirit, because if you don't know the vision and you don't know your leader, what you there for? You just existing, but you're not taking part of what's happening in the ministry. And so once you know your pastor's spirit, you'll be able to tell without them saying anything. When something is going wrong, I'm going to pray. When they got a look on their face, it ain't right, I'm going to pray.
Right.
Because God will connect you with that spirit. Might not tell you exactly what it is, but there will be an unction in your spirit. I need to pray for my leader.
Right.
I need to pray for my leader doing strength. I have an apostolic team that consists of three prophets in the church.
Amen.
And they're the ones that constantly keep me on my toes. They constantly
Amen.
Pray for me. They're the ones that handle my business when I'm at church. They're the ones that stand with me in war during the service. We need that.
Amen.
We need that.
Yes, Lord.
We need people with shamaring spirits that will stand on the wall and watch.
My God.
To help build ministry and help not only build up the people, but help build us up. We're only one person, and we cannot do it by ourselves. And when people will learn to come into the house of God and not just take up space, but find out their purpose for being there. Everybody that goes into a house of God has a purpose for being there.
That's right.
And so we don't have time to tend to our families. We end up neglecting our families because we're too busy trying to take care of the entire flock. No, we got to train people and assign people to certain things and to certain families to take that weight off of us.
That's right.
Because the worst thing in the world is to be in leadership and to be in ministry, but your spouse is feeling neglected.
That's right. Wow. Wow. And this is awesome tonight. Again, I pray that everybody is getting it. And I know that it's good because I'm not getting messages and people are not writing me right now. But, you know, this is awesome, and this is exactly what I wanted. It's for the realness to come out and for people to understand that your prayer, your covering, your pastors, your leaders is very, very important. It's important when the marriage is good. It's important when the marriage is bad. It's important when the marriage is, you know, however it is. It's just simply important because your prayers can ward off some things, can ward off some attacks. And
Amen.
As an intercessor, you can intercept some stuff and cause it not to even happen. And so tonight, we want to encourage you, men and women of God, all over the world to let's stand up and pray for our leadership at this time, and not just in our local churches, but leaders everywhere, because everywhere leaders are being attacked. I'm going to take a moment, and we're going to get some music. And when we come back, we are definitely going to continue this discussion. So stay right where you are, and we'll be right back in just a few moments.
All my life, you have always been there to bring me through somehow. Oh, all my life you have always been there. So please don't leave me now.
That's all I'm asking. Don't leave me.
Tuning in. If you would like to go and get that song, that is Diedrich Haddon, Don't Leave Me Now. And thank you for staying and being here with us. We have Apostle James with us tonight, and she has been giving us some awesome, awesome information and wonderful stuff to use in our marriages, in our households. And I am most grateful tonight that she took time out of her busy schedule to be a part of this show tonight. Apostle James, in our getting ready to close and wind this thing up, what advice can you give to pastors, leaders, apostles, bishops in this hour? We do understand that we're living in the last days, and there are so many different attacks taking place right now in the body of Christ. What advice can you give to the leaders to help them to sustain their marriages, to help them to make it through rough spots in marriage? Because ministry is just like marriage. And so if you cannot stand in your natural marriage, then we know that we're not going to be able to stand in ministry. So help us with that. What advice can you give us tonight?
First of all, we have to understand that marriage takes three. You, the other person, you, your spouse, and God. First of all, make sure that you keep a great connection or a great relationship with Christ, number one. Keep him the head of your life. Because as long as you got Christ as the head of your life, you can't go wrong. Never, ever get the advice from somebody that's struggling, that don't want to listen to nobody else and want to tell you what they think behind what they've gone through, not telling you what God is saying. I think the strongest thing is knowing, first of all, knowing when you see a red light and knowing that you have a problem, stop right there and fix the problem. Don't just keep trying to go through it like it don't exist. Don't keep ministering. Stop being and deal with your situation. Because if your home is tore up, your church is going to be tore up.
Come on.
You can never be effective in your church when hell is in your house. You can't do it. You can't do it. I always tell people, you hear people say all the time, one thing they say is that, you know, I don't want to go to church over there. The devil just over there. Well, first of all, you got to understand the devil lazy, he's shiftless, and he don't walk nowhere. If he's in your church, he got a ride with somebody.
How about that?
And so the attitudes that we carry, not only do we bring it in the church, but we pour it out over the people of God. Whatever spirit you operate in is the spirit you deliver over the people of God.
Right.
So you have to take out time to make sure, and I'm not saying everything is going to be perfect, but married people have to learn to agree to disagree. We ain't going to always agree, but we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to come to a medium where we'll have some type of understanding that we can keep loving each other, we can keep trusting each other. You know, we can keep our communication open and understand it's okay. And not always be pointing a finger at each other, but say, you know what, I'm going to work on me while you work on you. And if you fix what's wrong with you, that's 50% of the problem.
Right.
And so just keeping a strong relationship with God, making sure that you and your spouse, not only you and your spouse, but you, your spouse, and your children, always pray together. Take out time to study together. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times we as leaders, we go to everybody and tell everybody else what's on our mind, but we don't tell our spouses what's on our mind. Make them a part of what you do so that they can understand why you go through and how they'll never, ever know how to be effective in serving you and praying for you if they don't know what you're up against, because you got to understand that whatever you're up against, your family is up against it too.
Amen. Amen.
And so that's the main thing, is just actually staying connected to God, staying in the Word of God, staying prayed up. God said he won't have us ignorant of Satan's devices. If we stay in the face of God and keep our ears pressed to his lips, we won't miss. We won't miss.
We will not miss.
We will not miss. And I'm going to say this last but least. The Word of God says, what God has joined together, let no man tear asunder. What you have to understand, God could join you together, but it's going to take you to keep it together.
Come on.
It's going, you know, a lot of people holler, well, maybe it wasn't meant. Oh, it was meant. If God put you together, it was meant. But you going to have to do something. You're going to have to work on that thing to keep it together.
That's right. That's right.
Stop and get counseling
right.
when you feel like you need it.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Apostle, I want to, before we leave, my mind just went somewhere, and I want to touch this before we go. Apostle, a lot of times, and what I dealt with in the past, is being married to a pastor, and I had the mantle of pastor on my life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it brought about confusion. It brought about, to her, it was competition, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about this before we get off the air tonight because it hit my spirit so hard, so I know somebody needs to hear it. We in the body of Christ, preachers and pastors and apostles, we've got to stop this competitive thing that we have going
yes.
on in the body of Christ.
Yes.
We've got to stop this because that competitive spirit is breaking up homes. It's breaking up households. It's breaking up churches. We have to learn how to walk in the giftings and in the callings that God has called us to walk like he called you to walk, teach like he called you to teach, preach like he called you to preach. Don't try to be nobody else.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
Amen.
Apostle, how have you watched or how have you seen this over the years affect the church and affect marriages when you have a man and a woman who's called to ministry?
Apostle, I've been there. I was married
okay.
to an apostle before, and it started out really great. But once you lose your identity, as long as you have you know who you are in God and you're secure in that, then there's no competition. But once you lose that identity, then it becomes competitive. But what we have
mm-hmm.
to understand is what the gift that you have and the gift I have, we complement each other, and we make each other look good. I don't have to
mm-hmm.
outdo you to outdo me. I stay in my lane, you stay in yours, and we complement each other. And one of the things about the gifting of God, what you don't have, I might. And what I don't have,
right.
you might. We put it together, and we got the whole package.
Right,
I don't have to
right,
be jealous
right.
of you because we're one.
Right.
We're one. So whatever you do, make me look good too.
Right.
If you know
right.
what I mean, I'm not, when I say that, not boasting in ourselves, but what I'm saying is it complements me. We're
right.
one.
Right. Right.
And so with us being one, whatever we do together or whether it be singular, it's still reflecting us as a whole.
It does. It does. It does. And when you say what one doesn't have, the other one will. Okay, so, and I'm going to give an example of that tonight. My wife is the one that has all of the computer technology down. She has the flyers and she has all of that stuff. She got that. You know what I'm saying? She has it.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an awesome teacher. You know, she will help you if you listen. And she has that. But I cannot sit down to a computer and put flyers together.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Exactly.
My wife is the one that does all of the advertising. She's the one that does all of the PR stuff and all of that stuff. She does that. You hear about Alabaster Rock on the radio, in the newspaper. She does that. She got that. And people tell me that they heard about it, and I'm at awe because I didn't even know she did it. Okay? But
right.
that's not my thing. And I don't get jealous of what my wife does well, because again, what she does, it works for both of us.
That's right. It makes you look good. It makes
Amen.
You both look good. Amen.
Amen. So we have to be mindful not to have that jealous spirit in marriage. When you are a leader, and I thank God for a couple that the Lord has blessed us with at Alabaster Box, they know they do their own thing. They are married. They love each other and all of that. But you don't see no competition. You don't see none of that because they know who they are in God. And this is what
Apostle,
we have
one
to
of the
remember
things,
as leaders.
Exactly.
On.
One of the things too that couples that are in ministry is to have an understanding. Communication, again, I say, is the key, is knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses. Being able to sit down and talk and say, babe, you know what? You're great in the word. You interject real good. Your delivery is great. Why don't you handle that part? And then when you need to step aside and need somebody to fill in, then I'll fill in. But that's your strong point. I'm good at altar. I'm good at praying. I'm good at demons, whatever it is. You know, I'm good at that. Then that's the role that I play. And then we'll come together in the medium, in the middle, and we'll handle the rest of it.
Right.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We don't carry it all. But together
no.
we got the whole package.
That's right. That's right. And this is why God chooses. And I tell people that God is a – he. Back in the Bible, they arranged marriages. But today, I believe God arranges marriages. And
yes.
those are the best marriages, the ones that he arranged.
Yes.
Because what you don't have, he will give to you in your spouse. What you don't have the ability to do, he will give it to you in your spouse. And that's why yes. I love him. I love him because he knew what I needed in ministry. He knew, you know, the woman that was for me in ministry, and then he gave her to me. And I love him for that today. So to all of you men and women of God out there who are married, learn your strength, learn your spouse's strength. Don't fight and bicker against one another because, oh, you're prophesying now, oh, you this now, you that now. No. Don't do that. That's what the enemy
Amen.
Wants you to do. He wants you to be separated. There is power in unity, and we need to learn how to be united, how to have a united front. One of the things that you said tonight that blessed me was that you cannot come out and come into the house of God with your character and everything torn down. You've got to be able to separate that thing and come in there and do what
yep.
you are called to do.
Yes.
And so tonight I say to every leader, every person that is listening tonight and you are a leader, learn your strengths, your weaknesses, your spouse's strengths and weaknesses, and let us come together and work this thing called ministry because there is so much
yes.
kingdom work that needs to be done. And the enemy right now is fighting us in that place in that space of marriage and relationship. He is fighting us in that place. He's trying to bind us, and he's trying to oppress us and depress us. But as I preached on Sunday, I went well under pressure. And we've got to learn how to see the attack of the enemy, how to identify the attack of the enemy, and how to put it to a stop. My wife and I identified the attack. We saw it, then we put it to a stop. And we no
yes.
longer allow the enemy to ride or to cause there to be conflict in our house because we realize that the greater thing that we are put together for is for ministry sake. We get
yes.
to ride it. We get to enjoy one another. We get to do all of these other things. But God put us together to win souls. And so how dare we allow something to come in between our assignment? So tonight,
yeah,
be encouraged
yes.
and understand that we all have an assignment together. We have an assignment separately. And when God brings you together with someone, guess what? You have an assignment together. Let us realize that and let us get to work for the kingdom's sake. Apostle, where can we find you? Where can we reach you? How do we book you? How do we get to you?
I'm in Brookhaven, Mississippi, under the Blood for Deliverance International Worship Center at 1239 Highway 51, Northeast Brookhaven, Mississippi, 39083. My number is 601-320-3505. You can reach me at any time. Be more than glad to have you in our worship. Or if you have any questions or any way I can help at all, that's how you can reach me. Blessings.
Amen. And we bless God for you, have fallen in love with you. Gonna get you down here to Pensacola next month. We don't know if we're gonna let you come back home. But we are looking forward to you coming to Pensacola to be a part of our convocation, our very first convocation, history is happening. And so we are excited. Those of you that support us, thank you. If you would like to donate, you can do that at alabasterboxcm.org. If you would like to be a blessing to this radio ministry, again, it's alabasterboxcm.org. As well as we have services at 2 o'clock on Sundays at Alabaster Box, at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on Friday night. And we are extra excited as we are working on our new location in Crestview, Florida. And so if you would like to be a part, partner with us, donate, or however you would like to do it, if you would like to be a part, again, you can do that at alabasterboxcm.org, or you can find me on Facebook at Apostle Designate Garion House, and you can write me there, and we can talk to you and let you know how you can be a part of this great move of God. Woman of God, before we close tonight, would you lead us in prayer?
Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for just watching over us and keeping us closed in our right mind, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for a real talk, amen, and for the man of God, Apostle House, and his wife, Lord God. We thank you for their ministry. And Father God, we thank you for every one of the sound of our voices, Lord God. We ask right now that you just continue to strengthen us, God. Give us the mindset, oh God, to continue to seek your face like never before. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that your word, declare that your word that we hid in your heart that we won't send against you. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that we as the people of God will continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And God, I pray for the leaders on tonight, Lord God, that we will continually walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, Lord God. I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to teach us, oh God, how to walk according to your word, how to walk in godly manner, oh God, and how that our character should continuously reflect you, Lord God. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we have the strength of God and that we're carrying the character of God, oh God, and that we will be leaders, oh God, effective in your word. Father God, help us to continue to walk with power and with authority, oh God, and help us to understand that you've given us the ability to decree a thing and that it shall be established. Lord, we bless you on tonight. We give you glory, Lord God. And Father God, I speak to the minds of these your people, oh God, that our mindset will begin to operate according to your word, oh God, that we won't be conformed to this world, but we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord God, help us to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. Help us to be the ambassadors and the oracles, oh God, that you've called us to be in this hour, Lord God. Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you give us a mindset, oh God, even in our marriages on tonight, oh God, that we'll work these things out, Lord God. Father God, that we'll lead by example and that we'll learn how to conversate and learn how to talk to one another, Lord God, and learn the love languages of each of our spouses, Lord God. Father God, strengthen us even in these areas, oh God, that we can not only be an example to our church family, but that we can be an example to our children. God, we just bless you right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that every assignment that the enemy, the spirit of assassination, that the enemy is sending into the house of God to deplete these marriages, we bind it right now. We send a cancellation notice to the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And we serve him notice that no weapon formed shall prosper. Lord, I bless you right now, and I pray right now in the name of Jesus that everyone under the sound of my voice, if they're having any problems in their marriage on tonight, Lord God, that they will get off this phone and begin to seek your face, oh God, that you will give them wise counsel and give them directions on how to handle that situation. Lord, we bless you. We give you glory. And Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just continue to bless Apostle House and his household and his family, Lord God, that they will walk in increase, they will not walk in lack, oh God, and that they will be lenders and not borrowers. In Jesus' name, Lord God, and every word that he speak out of his mouth, Lord God, Father God, it shall come to pass. God, we bless you right now that every weather soul be so shall be blessed, and everything they put their hands to do, it shall prosper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Blessings on every one of you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Apostle, thank you for being here with us. Thank you so much for taking time out to be a part of this show tonight. And we'll definitely have you back soon. Tonight, people of God, just be encouraged. And as we leave tonight, we'll leave with Anita Wilson, one of my favorite, Jesus Will. Blessings on you. Thank you for tuning in.
He said he will.